On this first episode of Show Me Scares, we head back to our hometown of Winona, Missouri, to cover the murder of Ann Baker. This led to the first execution in Shannon County.
Wah, wah, wah.
He's so weird.
Secrets can lead to misunderstanding. Misunderstanding can cause fear. Everyone knows what fear can do. We are here to learn and shine the bright light of truth on these stories. You will know why. Show Me Scares.
Hello.
Hi.
This is Show Me Scares. I'm Shayla.
And I'm Terry.
And we welcome you to our first episode.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I know. So we are going to tonight head back to Winona and Shannon County, Missouri, which is our hometown. And we're going to cover the first execution in Shannon County.
So interesting.
Okay, so let's just jump right into the story.
Let's
take care of fun stuff afterward. And hopefully this is kind of fun too. I don't know. Maybe it's all fun. I hope so. We'll see. In the winter of 1897 to 98, a man named Oscar Baker came to Winona from Crawford County, Pennsylvania.
How did he find Winona?
I don't know. I think probably in those days, it was probably like you're just riding along on your little horse and you come to a spot and you're like, well, this looks good for me. I don't
know. Sure, why not?
Yeah. He was looking for land. He had plenty of money. But the problem was, is he was always in the bar spending that money. Like, that's what he kind of did the whole time he was here. Eventually pretty quickly, he returns to Pennsylvania. And then when he comes back to Winona, he brings with him his wife.
Okay.
His wife's name is Anne. She is a small woman, about 50 years old. They have no children. So if you're a baker in Winona, just chill. This is not your family.
Thank gosh.
Yeah, I don't need anybody freaking out because we're talking about your ancestors. This isn't them, I promise. I mean, I hope. Anyway... So Anne had sold her house in Pennsylvania at a loss.
So it was her house?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
She had to sell because Oscar had spent two different terms, I guess, in the penitentiary in Pennsylvania.
Oh, was you able to find out what for?
I wasn't. A little later, he alludes to something, and I just could not find the reason, so I can't say anything to that, but I have a feeling of what one was because of something he says later.
Okay, I'll wait.
Just hold on. We'll get there. They bought a residence and 80 acres in Winona. They also bought a team to clear the land. The plan was to put in a fruit farm.
Okay.
Fruit farm. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's really hard to say.
How do I say it and you not?
Fruit farm. I don't know. Anyway, fruit farm. The problem is he never got to this fruit farm. He never.
Too busy in the bar?
Yeah, that's right. He was at the saloon all the time, drunk all the time. So he never really did any work on the land. So there goes that idea. But anyway, it's a short time because they moved there in like January and you'll see how quick this goes. Again, Anne's a little woman. Oscar is apparently like this giant guy. He became known as a saloon bully. So like he was just this big guy who would get drunk and kind of bully people around. There's actually this cool story, messed up story. So he's at the bar and he comes staggering out drunk. Okay. And he is so drunk, he can't get himself up onto his horse.
Oh.
Yeah. So here's what this guy does. Okay. He takes his horse, he grabs the horse by the neck, he wrestles it down to the ground, and then he stands astraddle it.
And makes the horse get up.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I know.
Poor guy. The horse.
Yeah.
Not the guy.
The poor. Maybe the horse was a guy. We don't know. The poor little guy. The poor horse. So now, you know, this poor horse has to carry Drunky Magoo all the way home. And I'm sure he's like falling off of the horse. You know, like I'm sure riding drunk is not that easy. I don't know. Riders, you tell me.
This guy sounds awful.
Yeah, but if you're drunk enough, you can't get on the horse. Staying on the horse might be an issue too. It's just my idea. So
get on a horse sober or drunk.
Yeah, I feel sorry for the horse. But also, and I know you're going to be completely blown away by this and shocked, but he's abusive to Anne.
No way.
Yeah. I know that's hard to believe since he's such a stand-up guy. So, but all the reports of this abuse from or on Anne for the whole time says that she just takes it. She doesn't complain. She doesn't.
It's just her life.
Yeah.
She just takes it as it comes.
Exactly. She's just kind of like accepted this as what she has and what she's going to live with. And she. There's one story I think about, like, she went to a neighbor's house to hide from him one time until he cooled off. But other than that, nothing. And she doesn't, from what I understood, reach out to anybody about it, anything. That's important mm-hmm. for you to know at this point. Anne is forced to purchase whiskey for him. She's forced to write out orders for whiskey, and he makes her give him money, all that good stuff, because, again, the money is hers. On the evening of March 21st, Oscar forces Anne to go to Lee's saloon with him. Now, everything says that he forced her. And I'm not sure how much of that is like a media bias after the fact, because she's supposed to be the innocent victim, which she is. But maybe she wanted to go to the bar. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, you can't.
I'd have to drink to put up with him.
For sure. Absolutely. At about 10 p.m., after being at the bar, at about 10 p.m., they start home. The area has seen a lot of rain. What happens in Winona when it rains?
Those creeks gets rolling.
Yes. It gets flooded. Exactly. The creeks get up. So they're walking home. I guess they're being responsible, not drinking and driving.
Or riding.
So anyway, they're walking home and they get to this creek and it's rolling pretty good. And Oscar, giant man, walks across. And smaller woman is
not so giant.
Yeah, she's scared. She's nervous. She's not wanting to step in. And he's just like yelling at her from the opposite bank, like, come on, let's go. And I'm sure it was great. Anyway, she starts across the creek and she gets to the other side and she puts one foot up on the bank to step out and he punches her, knocking her back into the water.
Why?
I don't know.
What the hell?
I guess to show her that she could survive it. I don't, whatever. But I mean, she just scrambled out and they continued home.
Poor woman.
I know. There's actually a witness to them leaving the bar at 10 p.m. His name is Jones. I'm not sure the first name. He's the night watchman in Winona, and he saw them leave the bar at 10 p.m. Now, later, about 1 a.m., Oscar comes back to town and tells Jones that he needs to come with him to his house because he wants to show him his wife.
Interesting.
This whole little scenario here is quite odd. So he leads him back to his house where... Jones ties up his bulldog outside before he goes.
Oh my gosh, that's just priceless.
And I'm sure, you know, this is probably like a big breed of bulldog, because I'm picturing like this is his police dog, right? But like in my mind, I'm seeing like English bulldog or Frenchie, and I'm like
a little Frenchie.
Yeah. And I'm just, I don't know. I can't, when I hear bulldog, those are the two that I think of. I don't think of like the bigger breeds of bulldogs. So I'm sure it was bigger, but still in my mind, he's got a Frenchie with him.
So he has a little Frenchie. Up.
Yeah. That's his police dog.
Oh my God.
Oh man.
Anyway.
Yeah. So he ties up his bulldog and then goes in. Oscar says, do you see my wife and she's okay? And he's like, well, there's like a shape underneath the covers on the bed. So Oscar's like, ugh. He goes over, he pulls the blankets off of her and shows her. And Jones is like, yeah, that's your wife. He notes that she's breathing heavily and she's flushed and he assumes she's drunk. He's seen them leave the bar. So that's not.
Yeah, that's common.
Yeah. And he says, later on, when he's talking about this, he says there are absolutely no marks of violence. Nothing. She is fine. The only thing is she's breathing heavily and her face is flushed. So Oscar says, now you see her and she's fine. and they walk out the door. Jones notices there's bags packed by the front door, and they get outside, and Oscar says, "Now I am leaving to go to Springfield. If they find Anne dead in the morning, they can't blame me, right?"
What the heck? Who does that?
What? I know.
All right, anyway.
So Jones actually does note that this was an odd exchange, but that's, I would be like, do you need some help here? Like,
what's going on? Yeah.
Yeah. So that one, I told you it was a weird exchange. Okay.
You're a weird guy.
Yeah, for sure. The next morning, he shows up at Jones' house and he asks him, Jones' wife asks him if he would like some breakfast. And Baker says, "No, we've already had breakfast, but I got no wife."
What the heck?
I recognize my grammar is wrong, but that's how it was written.
And yeah. What did they say? Like, okay.
Well, everything that I saw was they were just like, okay, how you doing?
Blew it off. Like, yeah. They know, like, he's crazy and like, anyway, so.
Yeah, they're like, after the fact, it seems weird, you know, but. You know, like, at
I've
that
been like,
point,
wait, you have no wife. What does that mean?
Yeah. What the f*** are you talking about, dude? You have no wife. Where's she at?
Yeah.
Like, I just saw her hours ago. Mm-hmm. Why not question that a little bit? I don't know. Weird people. Anyway, the day goes on. The morning goes on. Later in the morning, Mrs. Joe Miller. So Joe and his wife live next door, about 17 feet away from the Baker house.
That's pretty close.
They're quite close, yes. And this is actually from Mrs. Joe Miller's testimony. And this is just for chronological sake, like just to put it into the timeline. She says that she can hear that morning Oscar beating Anne. And she can actually hear the blows hitting her.
Oh.
Yeah. And she hears Anne scream, "Oscar, quit. Don't hit me anymore."
Which this might be common. Like, this may happen a lot. So, at this point.
Yeah. I want to point out, they've only lived there 2 months. Shy of 2 months. So, yeah.
Wow.
Then, so she hears the beating happening. She hears her saying, "Oscar, quit, don't hit me anymore." And then she hears Anne scream out, "Oh, Joe, oh, Joe, oh, Joe," which is her husband's name.
So she's hollering for the neighbors, or for Joe, which is the neighbors.
Yes. She's screaming for help is what she's doing. And I may have understood it. This was really kind of muddy for me. I may have understood it that Joe was not home.
Okay.
Which eases my rage a little bit.
Yeah, because what is Mrs. Miller going to do? I mean, she could be a little woman as well. It's not like she's going to go over there and break it up. And she may not have a way to go get help.
Right. Her testimony is heartbreaking.
Okay,
to me.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
Here's how she explains how it progressed. She says, the first time that she yells out at Oscar, it's loud screams. And then she yells out to Mr. Miller, and it's a little bit lower. Then she yells out to him again. She yells out for the neighbor's help again, and it's very weak this time. And then she is only moaning. You can't even understand what she's saying.
My heart.
I know. And the thing that upsets me, we'll talk more about it, but the thing that upsets me is that she just listened to this. And I know in that time you keep your nose out of other people's business, you mind your household, and that's it. But, and maybe that's just
it. To what extent do you just stay out of it?
That's just it. Like, where do you draw the line? And we are in a different time. We have been raised in a different time to where if we heard this, obviously we'd call somebody, but I don't know that I could sit and listen to that happen and do absolutely nothing.
That's true.
you know, as like run to the neighbor's house, find a man if you need to, and have them go check, you know, like something. And by her testimony, she did nothing. J.D. Rutledge is the city marshal. There's also the deputy sheriff, Mr. Reary.
This story just keeps getting better.
I just love that name. I'm mature. That's what it is. Anyway, so around 1 p.m. on March 22nd, 1898, they arrive at the Baker house. So somebody
It could have been Mrs. Miller when it got help finally.
It could have been. They walk into the house. The front room is covered in blood.
Oh my gosh.
What they see here is the blinds are all pulled, but some of them are like torn down with blood handprints all over them. There's like a bucket in the middle of the floor with water and blood in it and rags. Like there's been some kind of attempt to
clean the,
yeah. And then there is a cudgel laying on the bed in the front room.
What the hell is that?
That's what all the papers used for. It's a club. Okay. It's
Why don't you just say the club?
Because it was cool to say cudgel. Oh, and that's just an old word. I think that nobody uses anymore because club's a lot easier.
Well, come on.
I don't know. But so they see, this is the scene they see. And there's also a butcher knife sticking out of the wall. So they're thinking like, what has happened in this place? And they hear Oscar from the back room, the bedroom, saying, "Anne, are you dead?" Yeah. And then he hears them, like they must have shuffled or something. And he hears them and he says, "Mrs. Miller," thinking the neighbors come over. And so one of them answers to him and he's like, "No, it's not Mrs. Miller." And Oscar says, "Don't come in here." And they're like, "We don't want to come in there. You need to come out here." Oscar opens the door, steps over the body of Anne, and walks out into the front room. Now they see this scene, looking around, they see Anne laying on the floor, and they tell Oscar, "Consider yourself arrested." And all he had to say was, "All right."
Knew that was coming.
Yeah, like, this is where we are, let's just go.
Go with it.
Whatever. They take him to jail and they return to the house about 3 to 4 hours later. Now, I could not see.
Wait a minute. They left her laying there while they took him to jail in town.
Yes.
Why, she's just laying there.
Right. The coroner didn't arrive until like 4 or 5.
I wonder if they even checked to see if she was still alive.
I didn't see that they did. They might have and just, they didn't include it in the reports. I don't know. But I didn't see that they ever checked on her until the coroner got there at like 4 or 5 p.m.
And that's crazy.
At that point, he actually says she's been dead 3 to 4 hours.
So she was alive when they left.
Possibly. It's kind of like the same exact time that they were there. So, and let me explain her injuries and then you'll know that they probably couldn't have done anything at that point anyway. When they walk into the room, her head's about a foot from the open door. She has 2 skirts on, a calico dress with the sleeves that have been torn off, and they're all like, all of her clothes are rolled up under her arms like she's been dragged and it's just rolled her clothes up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There is, the bed is broken down and blood has ran and pooled into the middle where the bed
Holy
is broken.
Crap.
Yes, there's a ton of blood. That's mentioned over and over again, just the blood bath in this house. There's a knife in the wall, a big butcher knife. Anne's body, when they discovered it, from what I understand, maybe at this point, I don't know, her body is still a little warm to the touch.
What the heck?
Yeah. She is covered in bruises. She has a knife wound on one of her legs. Her nose is completely smashed. she has a big gash, like a cut over one of her ears, and I didn't see which one. Her eyes are black and swollen, and she's just this mess. Like, you can tell that she has been beaten so badly, and the house literally looks like he's like picked her up and beat the house with her because of how much blood there is everywhere. Like,
he beat the tar out of
this,
her.
Yeah. That's crazy. And this was a scene, like, these guys just were like, what the hell happened here, you know? Like,
and they're probably not used to seeing that kind of scene.
I would say not. Yeah, I don't know that, but I would assume he was put on trial, of course. So all these injuries, it was determined the cause of death was 2 skull fractures. So like I said, they probably couldn't have saved her at that point.
That's true.
That was, of all the beatings, all the cuts, all the bruises, the skull fractures is what the coroner determined to be her cause of death.
A lot of blood loss as well.
Yes. The trial was in June of 1898. Baker took the stand in his own defense. I think the argument here was on like first degree murder or manslaughter or something. I can't remember what his was going for, because I think he was saying like it was kind of like a crime of passion almost. Like, it wasn't, he didn't plan on killing her and it was an accident. Like, he got mad, he hit her, he didn't mean to kill her, but that's what happened. And here, I will explain to you how that happened.
He didn't mean
world.
To kill her?
No, he didn't. And I will explain how.
He beat the shit out of her. Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay.
Let me tell you his defense, because it's just golden. All right. Baker's on the stand. Here's the story of what happened, because nobody knows it but him, right? He comes home and Anne is washing and changing her clothes. She is jealous of what I do not know. I mean, she has everything she could ever want with him, right? Eventually, she's just like harping on him and, you know, being a woman, nagging.
So this is his defense?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
She eventually hits him with a wet rag that she's using to wash, right? Well, it pisses him off. So he punches her in the nose, smashes her nose. There it is. She falls back and hits her head on the bed frame. There's a skull fracture. And she fainted when she hit her head. So he, being the amazing husband he is, he picks her up to put her on the bed and he hits her head on the wall.
Oh, my.
There's the other skull fracture. Totally, you know, he didn't mean to do that. And then he goes and gets some water. There's the bucket of water. And he throws water on her. And I guess I should note that the water, the blood on the bed, they had talked about how it looked like it was really wet, like somebody had tried to clean it. So there's where that is. I didn't mention that, but I didn't have that in my notes. But that's why he had said he threw water on her when she was in the bed, because he wanted to explain that water in the bed. Now, at this time, he goes back to get more water and she wakes up.
It's a miracle.
Yeah. He goes to her. He goes back to her bed because he's so happy that she's okay. And then he hears somebody in the living room. And it scares him and he jumps and he breaks the bed. And then he says, Mrs. Miller, that's how we got to the point that we came in on the story, according to Oscar Baker.
But she was on the floor.
Yep. And she has knife wounds.
Oh, that just accidentally happened somehow, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
You know what? He explained as much as he could. What else do you want?
I'm sorry.
You're not an easy juror to please. You know that?
I would have totally charged him already.
I know. Well, so some of the biggest testimony actually came from Jones, the night watchman, because he was like, he was setting up something the night before because he asked me this, you know. I don't know. I don't think that he would have gotten away with anything less if he hadn't done that. But it's actually possible, you know, like that was the big determining factor on premeditation. So he says, Mrs. Miller, and he was arrested.
Oh, my. Why did they arrest him? Hmm?
But he says he didn't have anything against his wife. He still had, quote, friendly feelings for his wife.
Wow, that makes you feel better.
I mean, that's the most romantic thing anybody's ever said.
I have friendly feelings for you, babe.
That's so sweet. I'll say that after I kill you.
Whoa.
What a weird thing to say. I have friendly feelings for my wife still, even though I killed her. Lord have mercy. The jury finds him guilty of murder in the first, and he is sentenced to death. At his hearing, they ask him, does he have anything he would like to say afterward? And he says nothing. And there were a lot of different papers reporting this because this is a big deal. And he is, by all accounts from the newspapers, every newspaper noted how he was stone cold cool. He didn't flinch. He never had any expression. He was like another day.
Well, this is his third round. I mean,
yeah, maybe. That's true. But this is the first one he's been sentenced to death.
Valid.
Afterward, he's asked by reporters if he, you know, if he'd like to give a comment. And he says he was not guilty as charged. But then he starts to cry.
Where did that come from?
Right? And he says he has never served time for incest. That's why I said I think it would come out. Because I think that's probably one of the things that it may have came out at some point that that's something he served time for in Pennsylvania.
Incest.
Yes.
Well, that's a whole nother level of weird.
He's a great guy. Now, he appeals his sentencing to the Supreme Court. Supreme Court says, we're siding with Shannon County. The execution is set for January 10th, 1899. Okay? This is a year after they moved here. So, quickly. News gets back to Shannon County about the Supreme Court decision, and they go in to tell him. He's in jail. He's playing cards with another inmate. They go in to tell him. They're like, you know, yo, dude, your execution date's been set. Supreme Court says it's down. And they may have used different words, but. And guess what his response was?
Okay.
All right.
Wow. So I don't think it's really hit him.
Yeah. Like, that's got to be what it is. I don't know. Or he's just like a jerk. Like, I don't know. Whenever, at his first trial, the sheriff was Sheriff Bay, and he had said he would do the execution himself. He would not ask a deputy to do it. Over the course of the appeals and stuff, there was actually a new sheriff that took office.
Oh, no.
And yeah. And so this new sheriff, even more oh no, is 26 years old.
Just a baby.
Yes. His name is Dethridge. And like, at this point, can he say, I'm going to have a deputy do it? No, he has to kind of say, well, of course I'm going to do it. You know, like.
That's my job. I've got to.
I just felt bad because he was so young.
Yeah.
But it's, I guess,
the first time.
Yeah. Now, while Oscar is awaiting his execution, he's a turd.
A turd.
I don't know what else to call him.
An asshole?
Yeah. Okay. That's more like it, I guess. So he can see them building the scaffold from his prison cell window. And he's yelling at the carpenters, saying, you better make it strong. I don't want them to have to hang me twice.
Holy crap.
Yeah. He tells them that they better hang him before noon because he wants to be to hell before dinner time.
Wow.
Yeah. Pugh. He demands and is given whiskey all the time. Different times. I don't know.
I have nothing.
I know. I saw that.
You know, I was like, just like, what?
The day comes and it's time for the execution. Now, they assume
we know this guy at this point, right? They assume he's going to give them a ton of trouble. Just getting him out to the scaffold is going to be an issue.
Because he's a turd.
What a turd. And they go in, they get him, and they're like, okay, it's time. They're putting on the handcuffs. When they're putting on the cuffs, he actually has a moment. He says, this is pretty tough.
Whoa, he's starting to feel a little bit. Good for him.
And just wait. They have no trouble at all getting him to the scaffold. He is actually, and I think this is probably nervousness, he's pulling them, like,
let's get this over with, basically.
Hurrying them up there. And like I said, I think, you know how when you're nervous, you hurry, you move. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure that's probably what it was. Because I can't think of another reason that you should be more nervous. To be running to the rope, this
one kill me?
Yeah. There are 100 men in the stockade, officers, physicians, reporters, and guess what the turnout was for this thing? There are 2,500 to 3,000 people attending this execution.
There's not even that many people in Shannon County now.
There might have been at that time. We don't know. But it's important to note the conditions of the day, because it is a terrible, rainy day in Shannon County. The weather is terrible. And this is in January. These people waited for 6 hours in mud up to their knees in some points to see this.
This is the going thing, though. I mean, they've never seen this before.
Yeah. And
but I don't think I would be waiting in freezing rain and or freezing cold rain and mud.
I wouldn't want to see it, period. See, but that's just what they did then. The newspapers also mentioned that there were people that were even like sitting on top of houses and climbing into trees so they could get a better vantage point, I guess.
Easy.
Yeah. It's the first one. It's exciting stuff, I guess. I need to backtrack just beep, 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 just a moment.
Is that your backup alarm?
Yeah. There was a suicide attempt.
Attempt.
Yes. So he had made a rope from his bed sheets and to hang himself.
Oh, so he's practicing.
Yes. Yeah. And they discovered the rope before he could do anything. Mm. So he didn't get the chance to attempt it. He attempted to attempt it. It's a lot of attempts.
Well,
moving on. He hurries the guards up the scaffold. He asks for more whiskey.
No way.
Then when they get him up to the top, he's standing on the gallows. They ask him if he would like them to say a prayer for him. And he loses his mind.
Oh, so that's when he loses his mind?
Mm-hmm. He's been totally cool until then. At that point, he throws out this tirade of obscenities. Cursing, all kinds of just nasties. And then he stops. This is odd. He stops because he notices that there are ladies in the crowd.
Since when does he respect women? He just beat the hell out of his wife.
That's why it's odd. What is going on with this guy? He eventually asks to shake hands with the prosecutor and tells him he feels no ill will and that he did a good job. I mean, obviously, here we are. At 12:14, the death cap is placed on his head.
Ooh, that's a terrible name.
Isn't it gross? Death cap.
Wah, wah, wah.
He notices, though, that there is still more whiskey in the bottle.
Before or after the death cap's put on?
Like, as they're putting it on. He's like, hold up.
I see whiskey.
And so they unscrew the bottle, give him the last drink of whiskey.
Such and nice then people in Shannon County.
What the heck? I don't know. Maybe they were just trying to keep him happy because he is such a turd. So They put the death cap on.
He just wanted to say it again, didn't
I know,
you?
It's just gross. And they put the rope around his neck, and he goes nuts again. The rope is too tight. It's choking him.
What?
I know.
Like, duh.
Yeah. Like, wait just a minute. You're going to get a really, really bad surprise.
Newsflash.
Do you know how this works? Anyway, at 12:15, the ex-sheriff, Bay, gave the signal, and Deathridge brought down the axe, cutting the rope that supported the trapdoors.
Mm. Poor Deathridge.
Yeah. Sweet little 26-year-old Deathridge. Anyway.
Growing up so fast.
His first execution. Oh, man.
We're horrible.
Yeah. Oscar's body shot down and then stopped.
Oh, the rope's really tight. Sorry.
That's so bad. You're disgusting.
Shut up.
I know.
Death cap.
So this part is super creepy to me. One journalist wrote, Oscar's body remained stationary for a moment, and then it turned to look back into the cell which he had spent his final days.
That's the creepy part for you?
Yeah.
It must have been creepy for the writer, too, to put it in there.
Uh-huh. Or he's just a good writer, and he's like, this is going to get him. Like, in 100 years.
This will be awesome to read.
Yeah. Somebody's going to be reading this. And
so
be
why
like,
does that creep you out?
I don't know. It's just like, he turned and like he's facing the cell that's been his home, and I don't know.
He's looking for more whiskey.
I guess I was just like blah, when I read it, like creeped me out. His neck was broken.
No way.
Well, I mean, luckily sometimes it doesn't work out right. Whenever so there's like all this excitement and everybody's there. There's 3,000 people, and when he drops.
Silence.
Silence fell. His death was called at 8 minutes 15 seconds. His body was lowered 4 minutes later and put into a coffin that was placed in the cell for burial in a cemetery north of town that evening.
Wow.
And Oscar Baker was no more.
You just had to say it. Good for him. I mean, beating up on a poor little old lady that you're supposed to love.
She's only 50. She's not old. You're going to really piss some people off with that comment.
Can we edit that part?
Oh, crap. Hmm. Well, I guess, you know what? In that day and age, 50 was probably old.
Valid. 30 was old in that day.
Yeah.
I mean,
people just didn't live long. Mm-hmm. Right. That's what she meant.
Yeah, hello for everybody.
Oh, man. Okay, now we're going to do a fun little segment where Terry is going to drop a truth on us. So basically, it's just like a little fact, just a little tidbit, something fun that maybe has to do with the episode, maybe not. We'll see. So here is Terry's truth.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Just a couple facts here about Missouri. So Kansas City, Missouri has more fountains than any other city in the world besides Rome.
That's insane.
Yeah, I didn't know it had so many fountains.
Is that right?
That's what I read.
That's I don't know. That seems...
The last time we was up there, everywhere we went had a fountain.
Yeah, you're not lying.
So... Okay, another one.
That's a crazy one, though. I don't know.
I
believe you 100%.
Oh, my. So, Missouri has more than 6,000 known caves.
I believe that one wholeheartedly.
I think Missouri's on top of a huge cave.
So. Yeah. It's just one huge cave, and people live on top of it.
Yep.
It's scary a little bit, but...
It's pretty cool, though.
What are you going to do?
And Richland, Missouri, actually has a cave restaurant, so that would be pretty cool to go see.
It would be. It'd be very cool. I want to go there. Let's do that. Let's put that on a list and go there.
All right, let's do it. I like it.
Isn't there a bar in a cave close somewhere?
I haven't read about that.
I think there is. Either I was dreaming about it, or
You should open one.
I feel like it would be really hard to run a business in a cave.
I agree.
I don't know.
I mean, just having a restaurant in the cave is pretty interesting.
Yeah. That is interesting. But yeah. I feel like getting the electric down there and like if you were like setting up the business, like it would take a ton of money to pour into that to get it set up.
I agree.
I guess it depends on how deep the cave is, too.
That's true.
I mean, that's
true. I don't know. But yeah, there's a couple little facts I found.
Okay, so now I want to do a little would you rather. I think I would like to add some would you rather to each episode. So I think I have one for this one.
I'm nervous.
You should be.
Oh,
God. Always.
You're twisting mine. There ain't no telling.
Okay, so would you rather be hanged or gassed in the gas chamber?
What kind of question's that?
A terrible one, but you have to answer it.
That's not fair. Oh, man. God, that's a hard one.
Yeah, it is.
Probably be hanged.
Yeah, I agree.
I feel like it would be quicker.
I do too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Without people looking. I don't want people staring at me.
I know.
I mean, I know I'm going to be dead after that, but I don't want to go through
but
that.
But also, you have a cape over your head. A cape. A cap. You have a cap over your head, so it's not like you can see. I mean, I guess.
But you're not going to see people when you're walking out there, and I hate that.
That's true. Be like, hello, fans.
Hi, guys. I'm getting ready to die.
I agree, but I wanted to ask about the, I mean, I went with hanging, which was our story tonight, and then gas chamber, because teaser, teaser, Missouri State Penitentiary is coming up soon.
Yes.
Yes.
Such a good one.
We got to visit Missouri State Pen and had an absolute amazing time, so.
That's next, huh?
That's.
Coming up?
Coming up.
Very cool.
Definitely coming up. This was a little more true crime, and Missouri State Penitentiary actually. It's kind of a mix because, you know, you can tell the stories of all the inmates and how they got there when telling the history of the building and then lead into the hauntings. I want to try and do something really cool and do like some spinoffs. So we do the haunting of Missouri State Penitentiary and we just spin off with the true crime stories of people who have been at Missouri State Pen. So
sounds good.
Yeah, I like it.
You never answered which one would you rather?
Oh, I'm going to be hanged instead of gassed for sure. Okay.
I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah.
For future reference.
If they ask you how I want to be executed, you know.
Yeah.
Actually, I wouldn't want either of those if I had a choice, I don't guess. I have no idea what it would. I've always been terrified of the guillotine for some reason. I think in a past life I may have died that way. I don't know.
Oh, gosh.
I don't know.
Criminal.
Yeah, probably. All right, final thoughts on the murder of Ann Baker.
That poor woman.
Yeah, it's sad.
Like, for one, I know you don't leave your husband back then, but let him come to Missouri. Stay in Pennsylvania in your house, girl. Kick his ass out.
Yeah, I know.
I mean.
Different time.
I know. You stuck by him no matter what.
Yeah, super sad. And you know, from us talking about it earlier, the part that upsets me so badly is the neighbor that did nothing. I just can't get on board with her. And I mean, whenever she gave her testimony in court and was like, yeah, I heard her yell. Yeah, I heard him beating her. She yelled for my husband.
That's how she said it.
Well, you know, there weren't cameras like allowed in the courtroom.
The husband was gone. That's probably the only horse they had was the one he had.
Maybe.
She's not going to go over there and try to stand up to this big guy, as you explain, Oscar. I mean, what do you want from her?
I know. I want Anne not to have had
to go through that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's just the heartbreaking part of it is people heard it and nothing
it does
was
hurt.
Done.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like I said, Mrs. Miller might have been the one who actually ended up getting the police there. So, but I think it took too long.
I get it. But back then it was a different era.
Absolutely. I mean, we've mentioned that over and over again. Different time. And yeah. that's what it comes down to, maybe, is just, you know, it was different then. Things are different. I did want to ask you if you noticed something.
What?
So I got all these reports from newspapers and stuff. Even the story about the creek.
Did you notice? Like, how does people know that? Story? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I read it and I'm like,
I wonder if Oscar'd like mention it.
That would not be a good look for him.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I guess it would explain, maybe if he did tell it, it would explain, maybe, you know, like, we had been fighting.
And I punched her back into the creek. Yeah, that's nice.
It doesn't make him look good for sure. But like, who told the story? Was that made up? You know, like,
yeah.
Like I said, I don't know how the media bias was at that point. Like, was there such a thing as spinning? And I mean, you see things, sensational cases of that time. Where newspapers printed just absolute crap just to put something mm-hmm. in the paper and have people read it. And I don't know if that happened in Shannon County, but it's something. Because I just think, that's an interesting story.
How does somebody
story.
Know that? Yeah.
Where'd you get that story from?
Was you in the
from?
Woods watching?
Yeah. So I thought that was something that we should mm-hmm. note, because a listener might be thinking the same thing, like, okay, how do you know that?
Right.
And we have the same thoughts, so.
Yeah. We just read it in the newspaper, so we believe it, of course.
I mean, it's true.
Just like Facebook. Anything on Facebook's true, right?
Yeah. Anyway. Okay, I think we're wrapped up with Oscar Baker. Upcoming shows, we have Pythian Castle coming up. We just visited, did a tiny little ghost hunt. It's fun.
It's fun.
And then we
it was
will
a
have,
lot of fun.
It was a ton of fun. Then we will have the Greenlease kidnapping. And that will be leading into our Missouri State Penitentiary coverage.
Which will be our biggest one
yet.
That's coming.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just wanted to do one quick shout out to my dad, Kevin Manis. He did the voiceover for our intro. And he wrote it and everything. He kind of owned that and I loved it. And so we definitely had to include that one. We appreciate him. He's definitely in this and he's supportive, and we really appreciate what he did.
Absolutely.
With that, because it was nice, and it's really cool to have my father's voice on there.
And
before
I'm impressed.
He joins us. Me too.
Like, <It's> what?
Quite creative. Way to go, Dad. So yeah, thank you, Daddy. I love you.
Me too. Thank you.
All of our socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can find us, Show Me Scares, on all of those. Send us an email, showmescares@gmail.com. Send us your stories. We'd like to get your stories on our podcast if you want to share. Send us any feedback you have. Listen, subscribe, review. We're actually going to do a giveaway. Each week we will draw a name from the reviews we've gotten and send out a sticker. Now it's taking a moment to get on iTunes, so if you don't get it right away on iTunes, you can go to our podcast page on Audio Boom and you can click the Apple Podcast logo at the bottom, and that'll put it into your podcast player.
Yeah, it's getting it's a little weird how it's taking so long, but
yeah, it just takes time to get mm-hmm. stuff in. So do all that, review us as soon as possible, and we will do that drawing. As soon as it's up, we might do, you know, a couple people, since it's taking a minute to get that going. We have a website coming.
Yeah.
Promise.
And it's all coming. Feedback. I mean, any tips that you need to give us that we need to do more of or take out, just let us know. I mean, we're just starting, so we want to make this big, so.
We're super excited to go on this journey with you. Come along with us. Help us out. Give us story ideas. Come and talk with us. All that good stuff. We are super stoked and we can't wait to see how this goes.
Let's do this.
Let's do it.
All right.
Episode 1 is in the books. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate each and every one of you. Have the best week of your life. We love you so much.
Bye, guys.
Bye.